Well, we have been enjoying a good, solid meal. Remember that? We enjoy dessert, but dessert time's on. We're getting back into a full steak dinner where we are feasting together as a congregation on the book of Acts. And Acts has 28 chapters, and so we're going to get to all of them. And now we're in this kind of little part of it that we call Paul on trial. You remember, it's chapters 21 to 26, and I challenge you guys to read that this last week. And who didn't do? No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that, dude. But hopefully you read it. If you didn't, you can go read it this week. I'll give you full credit because I'm nice that way, okay? So go read it. But we're doing Paul on trial. And the reason why, if you remember, is that this is kind of one block, one narrative. And what we're doing is then grabbing some themes from that and looking at what we can learn from the Lord on those. And this week's theme that we're going to be looking at, we're going to be talking about citizenship. Citizenship. And the reason why, remember, Paul leveraged his Roman citizenship twice. You remember that? Look with me, if you will, at chapter 22, verse 25. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" A rhetorical question. I think everybody knew the answer, right? Absolutely not. So Paul is here appealing to his Roman citizenship. And then later in Acts chapter 25, it's there that Paul had no option except to play the Roman citizenship trump card and say, "I appeal to Caesar." That was a right of a Roman citizen. And so twice he appeals to his Roman citizenship. But here's the thought. Look, do you really think that back in Paul's day, if somebody wasn't a Roman citizen and you went up to them and you said, "Hey, what's it mean to be a Roman?" They would say, "Oh, well, those are the people that you can't flog uncondemned, and they can appeal to Caesar." No, that's not how they would have described him. Here's how they would describe Romans back in the day. They are loud and proud. They are wealthy. They are gluttonous and violent. They're immoral and licentious, and they're pagan. Does that sound like Americans? Kind of does, doesn't it? But that's how they would have described Romans back in that day. So here Paul is, and he's leveraging his Roman citizenship, but he's not acting like a Roman. He's leveraging his Roman citizenship, but he's not doing it so that he can go have sex with the temple prostitute. I don't say that to be crass. That's just what Romans did. That's what it meant to be Roman. But Paul's not doing that. Why is Paul not doing that? And the reason why is because Paul has dual citizenship. This exists in our world today. You're aware of this, right? Like, so if your parents are from a certain country, when you're born, you are a citizen of that country. But let's say your parents actually gave birth to you. Mom probably did most of the work. So mom gives birth, but doesn't, and they're abroad at the time. They're on foreign soil. And so in some countries, because you were born on that soil, you're considered a citizen there. So you're actually a dual citizen. You have rights in both countries, actually. But what usually happens as you grow up, you actually identify with one more than the other. One forms your core identity. Paul, I don't know if you knew this, Paul was a dual citizen. We've already looked at his Roman citizenship, absolutely. But when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, in chapter 3, verse 20, we read this. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul had dual citizenship, both a Roman citizen and a citizen of heaven. And here's what you need to catch. If you are a Christian, I don't mean dabbling in the religion of Christianity. I mean, you place your life and your faith in the hands of Jesus. He's your Lord. He's changing you from the inside out. You're in relationship. You've been adopted as a son, as a daughter. If that's true of you, you have dual citizenship. You are, most of you probably, citizens of America. But you are also citizens of heaven. And like the Apostle Paul, you have a decision that is facing you. Which one will form your core identity? Which one will you serve? Paul made a decision on that. Now, when Paul did, it affected how he lived his life. And I'll tell you a little bit of a story on this. Back in the 1990s, my wife Shannon and I, we were doing college ministry at Bowling Green. And while we were there, I had the opportunity to lead some students, some college students, down to Guadalajara, Mexico, to plant a partnership ministry down there. So I started taking trips. Now, when you take people on trips down to Mexico, you always have to tell them, right? Don't drink the water. But the problem is so much broader than that. And this is where people get in trouble. So when you go and you get your Coke and you get ice in it, I have to say, you know what ice is made out of, right? That's their water. Or you go and you get a salad and you go, hey, do you realize they just washed the lettuce in their water and you can see it right on your salad? Or you're hot and thirsty because it's hot and thirsty there, right? And so you're out in the market and somebody's selling something like a slushie. Or you're showering and people don't realize how much water you swallow when you shower. And so you got to call and coach college students on any trip, really. You got to coach people up and warn them. Well, inevitably, somebody gets hit by Montezuma's revenge. Somebody gets hit by this. And I can remember taking Amy, another Amy, total different Amy, sweet little college girl, very dear to Shannon and myself. She was on the trip and she, if I can be, she had it coming out both ends, right? And I only meant, so that's fear of dehydration. That actually gets medically serious. And so we had to rush her to the hospital. And I can still picture Amy on all fours in the lobby of this ER in Mexico, just vomiting and all these people running up, talking a million miles a minute. And my Spanish is limited. I'm really good at ordering a meal. I'm good to go, okay? Guess what words I didn't know? I didn't know vomit, and I didn't know diarrhea, I didn't know dehydration. I got nothing, right? So I'm like, gringa, agua, mallow. Got it. And so they knew what the deal was. They got her hooked up to an IV, and Amy started to recuperate. Now, about a year later, I end up going down on a trip. This time I didn't take any students with me. We actually had a team of graduates that were now there for a year ministering to college students and sharing the gospel in the universities. I'm going down to encourage them. We were meeting at the girls' condo, townhouse kind of thing, and I was up on the roof kind of looking down over the city. And I noticed that next door was a condo that was under construction, and that the workers there, they just help themselves to your water. So they run a hose over to your yard, to your spigot, and they start running water. It's the way they roll down there. It's all good. But I noticed that they were starting to drink from the hose. And I wanted to go, hey, don't do that. You'll be in the hospital. But day after day, they were fine. Why? Because they belonged there. They were citizens of Mexico. Amy was not. She didn't belong there. Her citizen, her identity was elsewhere. And if she acted like a Mexican, it messed her up. You see, men and women, Paul didn't act like a Roman citizen. There are things in this world that the children of this world can do that are native to them. But if we do them, we become spiritually sick. And so Paul, though he was a Roman citizen, he did not act that way. He leaned into his heavenly citizenship. Now, you could say, yeah, but Pastor, he leveraged his Roman citizenship. That's what you just told us, right? Yeah, absolutely he did. That is because Paul had some goals. One of Paul's goals he wrote out. When he wrote to the church, the Christians in Rome, he wrote to them in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he says this, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." And you see a picture there. That's another Facebook memory of mine that popped up recently. The furry dude on the left, that's me. I am preaching the gospel, and I'm standing in the plaza in Rome that is the entrance to the old city. And when I put that picture up, I tag it with that verse right there. I'm guessing Paul had more impact than I did. But I got to share the gospel with those guys, and Shannon snapped a picture. But here's the bit, like, so I had a goal, Paul had a goal, but you know what? None of that really matters. You know why? Because Jesus had a goal. I told you last week, Jesus has a plan. Paul got a promise. And here's the plan that Jesus had. Acts 23, verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood by him, that's Paul, and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." Jesus has a plan. He wants to get Paul through this whole trial, appeal to Caesar thing. He's funneling Paul toward Rome to preach the gospel there. So here's what Paul does. He leverages his earthly citizenship in order to serve his heavenly citizenship. Let's be honest. We usually do the reverse. We try to leverage our heavenly citizenship in order to hook us up in this earthly life. And that's religion. That's religion, trying to get God to hook me up here and now. But Paul did it the opposite way. He tried to use what he had on earth in order to serve his heavenly citizenship. Now, Paul, if he wanted to, he could have just recanted all this Jesus nonsense. Hey, Jews, never mind. I was just kidding about that. And the Jews would have told the Romans to let him go and he would have gone free, no problem. But he didn't do that. He kept pushing the gospel. Paul, that's what's getting you in trouble. He kept pushing more. He kept pushing more. Why did he do it? He did it because he loved Jesus. He loved Jesus and he loved his gospel. He had been transformed himself by grace. And so he knew how precious that gift of the gospel is. And he just had goals and aims then to use his earthly citizenship to serve his heavenly one. So no, Paul didn't act like a typical Roman, but he was willing to leverage what he had on earth in order to serve heaven. And it cost him. He did get beaten several times. He got shipwrecked. He ultimately went to Rome. He got off. He got arrested again in Rome and got beheaded. It cost him. But I don't think he regretted it. I'll show you why. Some of you have met my rope before. For those who haven't met my rope, let me introduce you. On here, I have a little duct tape tip. Can you see that? Little tip at the end there of duct tape. And what that little duct tape tip represents is your 70, 80 odd years that you're going to be given here on earth. Okay? And then, of course, there's the rope. And what this represents is all your eternity. Your whole eternity long that you are going to be alive. And if this were an accurate illustration, of course, you understand that this rope would be infinite in its length. It would go on and on and on and on. And right now, all you're experiencing in this life is just this little duct tape tip. So the question you've got to ask yourself is, which am I going to live for? Am I going to go before God and live for all this eternity, my heavenly citizenship right here, or am I going to live for just this little duct tape tip? Which one? Which one will be my core identity? Will I leverage earth for heaven, or will I try to leverage heaven for earth? And I think Paul chose really, really well. Think for a second. Do you think Paul ever regretted his choice? I mean, there came a point after Paul got beheaded, the next moment he finds himself standing before the Lord Jesus himself. And in that moment, do you think he's probably glad the choice he made? Yeah. And that was 2,000 years ago. Know this, Paul is still standing in the presence of Jesus. Do you think today Paul regrets his choice? Now, to be honest, though, in Christian history, it doesn't always play out like that. Let me tell you about Kublai Khan. Do you recognize that name? The great Mongolian emperor who finally completed the conquest of China and unified it all. Kublai Khan is the guy that got to interact with the Polo brothers. There was not much traffic or trade between Europe and Mongolia or China during that time. There was a Silk Road, but few Europeans actually got there. But the Polo brothers were great traders, and they made the trip, and they established a relationship with Khan. Now, while they did that, Kublai Khan got very intrigued, very interested in the stories they told of their Christian faith. So he made a request to them. He said, look, when you return on your next trade voyage, would you please bring with you 100 Christian priests, 100 Christian scholars, because this Christianity is so interesting, I want them to teach it to my people. So the Polo brothers went back home. While they were there, they picked up, one of the brothers had a son named Polo. Right? Okay, so you recognize him. So he joins the journey and on the return trip. But first they go to the Pope. And they say, hey, can we have 100 priests? And the Pope's answer? No. But you can have 2 friars. It's not a joke. And they're not frying up stuff. Those are junior priests, right? Like they're like intern priests or whatever. So he goes, but you can have 2 friars. And so they start on the journey. And when the 2 friars encounter the difficulties of the Silk Road, both turn back. I want you to imagine something. You know what China's like today, right? The spiritual darkness and difficulty that is there. I want you to imagine how different China would be today if 100 priests said yes and showed up and taught. Can you imagine? But instead, a pope, 100 priests, and 2 friars all said no. They said, nope, I'm going to live for the little duct tape tip, not for the long line of eternity. I'm going to live for my earthly citizenship, not for my heavenly citizenship. They leveraged heaven for earth instead of leveraging earth for heaven. What about you? Are you more like Paul? Or are you more like the 100 priests and 2 friars? Who do you want to be more like? Do you want to be like Paul? And you say, but Pastor Rick, I'm not a Roman citizen. Shut up. You guys are so sarcastic. My congregation, I love them. All right. It's not about being a Roman or an American citizen or any other. Here's what it's about. What has God given you on earth that you can leverage for heaven? I am convinced that he has put within your life skills and gifts and talents and abilities. He's put money and resources in your life. He has put into your life energy and influence and all that that you can use on earth in order to serve your heavenly citizenship. And you just didn't know that God put it there for heaven. You thought he put it there for you on earth. Okay, think about this. So the Apostle Paul grew up as little Saul in a city named Tarsus. He had Jewish parents, but they were Roman citizens, so he is a citizen by birth. And when he grows up running around, do you think Paul had any idea why God made him a Roman citizen? He had no idea. No idea. Until many decades later in his life, he's stretched out for the flogging and he says, hey, you can't do that. And he starts to use his Roman citizenship in order to steer him to Rome to preach the gospel there. Look, there are things God has already put in your life. They're there already. And you think they're there because that's God hooking you up for earth. What if they're actually there because God intends to leverage them for heaven? What if they've been there your whole life and you had no idea until this moment that God put it there so you can serve him in his great and glorious gospel, just like Paul? Just like Paul. Is it about, look, folks, you got to wrestle with this. Is it just about going to church on Sundays, singing a few songs, and trying not to cuss? Or what about this? If everyone within the kingdom, within the body of Christ, if they invited neighbors as much as you, if they reached out with the gospel as much as you, if they sacrificed as much as you, if they served as much as you, if they gave generously as much as you, how would the kingdom mission be doing? Oh, but be very careful with that. Be careful. Because what I just gave you is guilt, obligation, motivation. And it is not what rocked Paul's world. You think that's why Paul? Why do you think Paul was willing to do all this? There was a sense of adventure. There was joy. Ultimately, there was love. He loved Jesus. He couldn't believe that grace had been poured out in his own life, and he loved the gospel, and he realized what a precious gift the gospel is. And so Paul said, I'm in. I will leverage everything within my earthly citizenship to serve the heavenly aims, the heavenly goal, my heavenly citizenship. That's the challenge to us. Now do me a favor, bow your heads with me. Bow your heads, and I want to just allow you, before I pray, to reflect a little bit. Here's a question. Did Jesus die and rise for you? We sang about it already. Did he do that for you? And if so, do you love him? Do you love his gospel? Do you realize how precious it is? Do you realize your eternity is secure, and then we are now just living in a fallen world that is passing away? It's not worth your life. Do you realize that? If so, will you quit living for that little duct tape tip? And instead, will you start living for your heavenly citizenship, for the long rope of eternity, not for your earthly life? And if you're willing to do that, then here's the application question. What will you do this week? What are you going to do the rest of this calendar year? What are you going to do throughout 2018 in order to leverage your earthly citizenship in order to serve your heavenly citizenship? What are you going to do? Father in heaven, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would be doing business in hearts right now. We first, of course, we want to thank you. Lord God, you didn't owe us the gospel. That's ridiculous that you gave it to us. It's all by grace. We did not earn our way in. It's all by the grace of Jesus. Thank you. And yet, as those who have been folded into your family, somehow, Lord, we lose perspective at times, and we start living for this little 70, 80 years on earth and try to leverage you to serve this, and it's silly, Lord, and we repent right now. I know there are ways that people in this room have been living like a citizen of this world and they shouldn't have been, and I pray there would be repentance flowing in their heart right now and they would be turning from that. It's not just about ways we sin, Lord. It's about what our goals and our aims are. And Father, we want to be heavenly citizens. That is our primary identity. And would you teach us, would you train us to leverage earth for heaven? And help us live that out. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.